Welcome to my art studio where all the magic happens. This is the station for painting, and that is the station for all the resin art I do. If you want to check out my art, all you gotta do is go to lutfstudio.com. But I'm sure, or at least I hope, I'll see you at lutfstudio.com. Good evening and welcome to Glass Off Gang. Thank you so much for joining us. As always, I'm Annie Cyrus sitting in for Dr. Jamie Glassoff. I appreciate you guys being here, even though your hero, Dr. Jamie Glassoff, is not the one who is conducting these interviews. Please remember, this is a fan-generated show, and it is that time of the year where we will ask you to please support us to continue doing what we do. If you can, go to jamieglassoff.com, make a contribution. If you can't, that's absolutely fine. Send a link to someone you know who can make a contribution, and that is still a type of support we will always be grateful for. I want to rush through this because I have... You're not going to believe it. You're not going to believe it until we bring our guest on camera. It is such an honor, such a privilege. I know for fact, you all know, the one and only Corey Griffin. He's been through it all. He's done it all. He has a stand up to tyranny. He has a stand up to all the corruption. And we're all grateful for him. And we always pray for him. Hey, Corey, welcome to Glass Off Gang.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. And, you know, I tell you, it's been a big battle, and sometimes it's difficult, but it's an honor all the same, because I know that, you know, we're all in this deal together and we fight for the same future. And I believe we're all willing to make the same sacrifices, and it's just an honor to be a part of the movement. I mean, we're really in historic days right now. So, I appreciate you having me.
Oh, absolutely. It's an honor. So let's dive right in. First of all, thank you so much for taking the time, even though you are on the road. I appreciate that. But let's do this. Because I have come across some people who know Corey Griffin starting J6. That's not like when Corey Griffin started. So let's go back and let's start from when you started your, let's say, politics involvement, and then 2019. Just give everybody a brief history of before J6, sure. And then we're going to talk about J6.
Absolutely. No, I love to share a little bit of my background. It's very simple. I'm from New Mexico. I grew up here. My dad's a sawmiller. I grew up logging and sawmilling. Grew up rodeoing. I've lived overseas. I worked for Disney for about 5 years. And then I felt God lead me into the ministry. And I was very involved in street ministry for just doing street evangelism work for probably, you know, 3 or 4 years. Then after that, I felt the call of God to pastor. I pastored a cowboy church here in where I live for about 5 years, Newhart Cowboy Church. And through that time, I started a small business. I was in the food business, barbecue business. It was a lot of work, not much pay, and heavy regulations, which pushed me more towards the edge of politics. And then having a place in the ministry and seeing the moral decay going on, I even got further pushed to politics, where eventually I ran for county commissioner. I won by a large majority. The people here in my area know me. And then once I got in office, in a local office, I saw the need for the border security. I saw what the president was doing. I formed a group called Cowboys for Trump, where we would ride in support of the president. I got to know President Trump personally over the course of his presidency. I can say that I sat down at the desk with the president in the Oval Office, a one-on-one meeting. And I can honestly say that I declined an invitation to the Oval Office at one time because I had needs in my county, and my oath was important to me. And but God's gave me a lot of amazing opportunities over the years to do some pretty amazing things. But to stand on the steps of the Capitol on January the 6th was probably the greatest honor of my life. You know, I mean, to stand there with other patriots, to sing in unison the Star Spangled Banner, say the Pledge of Allegiance, you know, stand to protect laws that were being broken, which were election laws that are proven to have been broken now. So we stood on that day to support the law, not to break the law. And, you know, if you know a little of my story, I was arrested on January the 17th for a misdemeanor trespass charge. I did not.
I'm sorry, before you go to the J6, let me ask you this before we go into the harassment by the government, if you call it. You were there. Many others were there. And I want to have your take on, before doors open, before the barricades were moved, I have heard different stories. But the main story I have heard is, it was like there was an invitation for people to go in. It looks like it was a setup and a trap. So what was yours? What did you see? How did you, even though you didn't go inside, but you were there when this all went down. So what did you see with your own eyes?
You know, if I could put one word on the day of January 6th, it would be PSYOP. And maybe that's two words, but it was definitely a staged and orchestrated event. You know, those that were there on that day know that. Those of us that saw Antifa changing into Trump gear, you know, saw the behavior of the police, where on one side, as you mentioned, they were allowing people to walk in, and on the other side, they were fighting with people instead of just locking the door. You know, that's all they would have had to have done. But you know what, my participation on January the 6th, I never saw a sign that said restricted area or unauthorized zone. I had no idea that the outside of the Capitol was restricted, or there's no way that I would have went there and stood there and blatantly broke the law. Those of us that apparently broke the law did it without knowledge. And that's usually what happens to an animal when it steps into a trap. It goes into a trap without knowledge that it was walking into a trap. And I think that that speaks for many of us that have been caught in the crossfire of January the 6th. You know, the sham committee, the circus that Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger and them ran a while back, it was a complete propaganda PSYOP in itself. Support the setup of January 6th, you know. Right now, the loudest drum that I'm beating on my side is demanding for the release of the J6 footage, and to do so public source directly to the people without a Tucker Carlson filter on it, because I don't trust Tucker Carlson either. I'm sorry. The guy used to be friends with Hunter Biden, so now I'm supposed to be trusting of Tucker Carlson to handle something that Kevin McCarthy already deemed a national security threat. So Kevin McCarthy says that this footage could be a threat to national security, and then he hands it over to Tucker Carlson? What makes sense about that to you? Because nothing about that makes sense to me. The footage was taken on publicly paid for cameras, and don't give us 44,000 hours. Just give us 1 hour inside of the speaker's lobby. We'll start with
Fair
that.
Enough. Fair enough.
You know.
Well, as far as them making sense, I don't think anything has made a single sense in this country to those of us who are paying attention, starting November 8th of 2020. Everything has stopped making sense. Now, I don't know how much you know my background, but I was born and raised in Islamic Republic of Iran. And I was pretty much raised by, you know, the Islamic tyrants in Iran. And the first thing I said in the morning of the 9th of November, I said, oh, look at that. A Mohammedan miracle happened. We all went to sleep and a miracle happened. Joe Biden, wiped all the votes. Everybody just went for Biden. From there on, common sense left our country. Asking questions left our country. So I just want to say, when you ask, if you ask me, nothing has made sense since then. But yes, this footages can be released whenever, but I agree with you. And when I had David Summerall on, he said the same thing you're saying. Release the prisoners. This is the United States of America. We have a constitution that eliminates the possibility of American citizens to turn into political prisoners in this country.
And I'll tell you, that DC gulag place, see, I have a perspective of that because I was held inside of that place for 3 weeks, okay? And it's a kind of a torture that you can't put into words. It's that bad, okay? You know, they held me in for 9 days in a cell and didn't even let me take a shower or use the phone. I mean, I was able to drink water out of the sink in my cell and wash my feet and head until the sewer water started backing up into that sink. And I remember having to take towels and soak the sewer water out of my sink so I could get a drink out of it in a plastic, in a paper cup. I mean, it's the type of treatment that I wouldn't treat an animal. And to think that those men and women have still been in there for going on 3 years, I only did 3 weeks and I don't see how I could have spent another day in there. And they've been in there for 2.5 years. It's nothing short of terrifying to me. And if I have PTSD from January 6th, it's because I know that there's still men and women locked up in that hellhole. You know, I mean, it needs to end.
Yes, and let's not forget about the innocent lives that were taken on that day. You know, I have...
Oh, and I catch a lot of hell sometimes for saying it. But even the stuff in the speaker's lobby, I mean, the only footage we've seen of the speaker's lobby was shot by Jaden X, or John Sullivan, who is a known BLM activist and propagandist. And that's the only video of the shooting of Ashley Babbitt that the public, that I've seen anyways, I don't know, maybe others have seen other videos, but the only one that I've seen is the one that Jaden X shot. And whenever I watch that video, I have questions, okay, just on the little short clip. So that's why I say, let's look at the security camera video inside the speaker's lobby and let's start with 1 hour and then let's go from there, because I think we'll learn a lot about the speaker's lobby thing, because I think there was a lot of bad actors in that thing. I just don't know who all was a bad actor and who all wasn't, but the video would tell us.
Yes, and that's exactly why I keep saying that it's just human nature. If they're not releasing the footages, that should tell every single American. I don't care which side of aisle you belong to. I don't. If you're an American, that should tell you that they are hiding a major cover-up. Otherwise, those footages would be all over the place, available to the public. If it's not, you should all ask the question of why.
Why? Absolutely. And to have a Republican Congress, I've been swinging really hard on my Twitter, and I know I probably make people mad, but feelings and emotions and friendships don't really matter whenever you're in battle. And for those of us that are in the battle, you either have to have skin on you and can push forward. And if you're going to cry about what somebody else said, then stay in the back. Let the real warriors work their way to the front of this. And I've been calling out Kevin McCarthy and Marjorie Taylor Greene and the other Republican congressional members because they hold the keys to this footage. I hope my connection, is my connection getting bad? I'm sorry.
No. You're coming in clear, and I'll tell you what.
Okay, I just saw it dragging. But anyways, like I was saying, McCarthy and the Republicans are the ones that are keeping this footage from the American people. It's not the Democrats hiding the truth now. It's Republicans hiding the truth. And that's what really infuriates me. You know, we got people like Marjorie Taylor Greene that align with us and say they're a patriot, but then she'll go coddle Kevin McCarthy and say, oh, it's a national security risk if we show you the truth. get out of here. You know, I mean, we were too silent on JFK. We were too silent on 9/11. We were too silent on the Vegas shooting. God forbid we become too silent on January the 6th whenever we have the answer laying right before us. We just have to demand that these Republicans tell us the truth. And if there was FBI informants that were inside that were leveraged and did stupid things, then you're going to be dealt with. But, you know, I mean, it's obstruction of justice what they're doing, not releasing the tapes in the very simplest of forms. We just can't see it yet.
Yes, and that's the thing. I starting January 1st of this year, actually, Coy, I announced publicly that I am neither a Democrat nor a Republican anymore. Moving forward, I'm an independent American. I will not align myself with any individual from any party that is going to bow to behind-the-door handshakes and deals that many of them have made with McCarthy to make sure he keeps his place. I mean, honestly, the same thing happened with Ronna Romney as well. If you ask me, that was another bad deal all these Republicans made. But the J6 situation, or as you mentioned, September 11, or Boston Marathon bombing, or San Bernardino shooting, or the gay club shooting, any of these events, it's not about politicians, it's not about parties, it's not about politics, it's about America. We are literally allowing them to divide us into small, tiny portions in this country from race and color and religion and gender and confused genders so they can further their own globalist agenda while our innocent Americans are rotting in prisons in America. When I came here 20 years ago, Coy, if anybody would tell me 20 years from today or 18 years from today, you will have political prisoners in America, I would laugh in their face. Now it's happening and we're looking the other way. I mean, not me and you, but majority of people are looking the other way. Now, let me ask you this. Why do you think it is that majority of Americans are looking the other way?
The same way the Nazi Germany looked the other way whenever the Nazis were gassing the Jews. It's easier to look the other way. It's easier to find a comfortable spot and go to work and go on vacation and try to pick up whatever pieces are left of freedom and put them together in your life and then praise at the feet of Elon Musk whenever he allows you to say a couple things on Twitter. And now everybody's, it's because it's easier. It's an easier place to live. The difficult place to live is a place where you actually talk about the evil going on, you get engaged in your community, you stand up on social media, you say, I'm not going to comply anymore, and we're going to restore our republic on the local level. We have to get into that fight mode to get it back. But to answer your question at the beginning, it's because people are more get comfortable. And to get in a fight like we're in, and I know that you're in, it's not easy, you know? I mean, this video probably won't even be seen by anybody because all you have to do is mention the name Coy Griffin and you get totally wiped off of everything, you know? And it's, I think a lot of it is our artificial intelligence. I think a lot of it's the AI stuff. That's really beginning to concern me more than about anything is how deeply infiltrated we've gotten with our artificial intelligence. But that's a whole nother topic of another story of another evil. But whenever we talk about the politics going on and we blame too much of this on politics because it's not, it's spiritual. The fight that's going on in the world today is a fight of good and evil. It's a fight of light and dark. And whenever the politics spills over, that's just a physical manifestation of what's going on in the spiritual and the supernatural. And I believe we're in the last days. I think the only one that can save us now is Jesus, you know, which the only one that could save us from the beginning is Jesus. But I believe the Bible. I believe Bible prophecy. I believe that, you know, we're entering into those days. When they're going to come, God only knows. The Bible says it could be tomorrow or it could be 1,000 years. But I really think we need to stay on guard. January 6th is going to be the rock that cracks the nut, I think. We can't let go of J6. We can't forget about January 6th. We can't forget about our demands. We have to hold the line. And if we truly hold the line, then we're going to demand that the footage be seen, and we will one day know the truth. And it very well could be a national security risk, what Kevin McCarthy said, because it might crumble our government from the top to the very bottom. But if you build something on a bad foundation, it's better to get rid of it and get something else in place anyways. And our Constitution gives us that ability and that right. There's lots of great strongholds inside of our Constitution that will give us the leverage that we need to get our country back. And if I speak on the local level, the greatest stronghold that we have is in the office of county sheriff. That's not a law enforcement position. That's a political position. That's why we give the man a gun and a badge and put him in charge of the law. It's because it's the strongest political position on the county level. And if we have to get to a point of civil disobedience and telling the government to go to hell, then that needs to be done through the office of county sheriff. It can't be done by me or others like me. They'll have us in the same jail as Stuart Rhodes and Enrique Antonio and all the rest of the Patriot leaders. It's got to come from the county sheriff and the local county government. And when we get that move, then we get our country back. But if we're all sitting around Donald Trump thinking Donald Trump's going to come in a cape and save us in 2024, we're stupid as we were in 2020. Because if we think that Trump is not going to get the election stolen from him again, we're fools. You know, we must redirect our thinking, our conversation, our behavior, to not be looking above, but to be looking beside us on the local county level. And I'm sorry I went on a long rant. I hope I didn't burn up all of your time. But the Lord's really been showing me a lot of things, and I feel like I've learned a lot of things. I mean, not many county commissioners get to sit down one-on-one with the President of the United States. I was able to do that by God's grace, and I didn't get anything done. You know, I mean, yay, I got to sit down with the president. Wow, that's an honor. I got the kudos of people saying, Coy, the president's following you. That's great. But it's not about me. It's about our land. It's about our natural resources. It's about our local economy. That's where I wanted the focus to be, not on the guy on the horse, you know, but I don't know. We're in uncharted waters. And where we land right now at this point, nobody really knows. We just have to remember our history. We have to dig in deep with our family. We have to circle ourselves with men and women that we can trust. And don't listen to what Joe Biden is saying, because that man is the biggest fraud, whoever he is. I'm not even so sure it's even Biden. It's the biggest fraud America is ever seeing right now.
Many words of wisdom. And this is your time, Coy. So it's not my time, it's yours that you have graciously agreed to share with me and our audience. Let me go back to something you said. And I think one of the biggest challenges we are facing today, and again, this comes from someone who spent the first 15 years of her life in an absolute tyrannical society in country. We're at a point where you pointed out the Bible and you pointed out the Constitution. The problem, Coy, is I guarantee you 9 out of 10 Americans have not opened the Constitution to read it. I had so many Americans tell me, oh wow, you know our Constitution better than I do. I'm like, yes I do, because one, to become a citizen, I had to read the Constitution. Two, I couldn't even believe these are in the Constitution of a country when I got here. It was kind of like, I was like, I'm going to read it to prove that it's not there. And then I read it, I'm like, oops, it is there. Number two, it's been a long time that our fellow Americans haven't opened their Bible and they have closed their heart to God. Yeah. I have been offended over and over by Americans calling President Trump their savior. I'm like, No.
I hear you. And I know that you're a woman that knows their Bible. And I know that you know, you can look at a lot of the actions that happened to Trump. I mean, I look at Trump a lot like you read the story about Saul in the Bible and about how, you know, the Israelites wanted a king, but God wanted to be their king, but they demanded they have a king. And so God put Saul in there. And Saul was head and shoulders taller than every other man, was a great leader. He did a good job for the Jewish people. But then he got arrogant and he got prideful. And what did God do? God removed him, you know, and God raised up David.
Amen.
And David was a great leader. But with Trump, I don't know if there's a lot of unknowns right now. And I struggle because I want to say I'll blindly follow Trump over a cliff, but I don't think so. Not whenever he's going and visiting with Lindsey Graham, and not whenever, you know, it's just like, where is he on some of this stuff, you know? But you're right in what you say. It's a spiritual battle. In order to remain on good ground, we have to be spiritually grounded, and you have to get engaged. You have to read your Bible. You have to go to church occasionally or all the time. And you need to really start thinking about things in more of a spiritual nature, because we're in a spiritual war, and we have to, our prayer warriors, any prayer warriors out there that are praying right now, my hat goes off to you. I commend you. And I only tell you that you're in the very tip of the spear. You look at guys like me and think, wow, Coy's at the tip of, in the heat of the battle and on the front line. No, I'm behind my prayer warrior. My prayer warriors are the ones that are out in front of me. I go behind them. They're my shield. God's my shield, but they're Amen. The ones making petition for me, okay? They're the ones petitioning God, saying, Lord Jesus, watch over Coy today, and don't let him say something stupid, you know? I mean, those are the people that I take my hat off to, and I just want to say I love you and I thank you, and the people that are praying for me, praise be to God, because we're going to get through this. The best is yet to come. There's more of us than there is them. They have us hijacked because they have big tech under their thumb, and they have us all in little boxes, and they take away our voices. But you can't take away the power of God, and that's what we operate in. That's what we stand in. That's what we claim. And so, therefore, we stand in a place of victory, because we know that Jesus overcame the darkness of this world, and we can too, as we stand in the name of Jesus and in the power in his name. So, that's my preaching at you for the day.
Amen. I appreciate that. And even though Dr. Jamie Glassoff isn't here himself, but one thing I have always learned from him is we should fight. It is our duty to fight. But don't lose hope and don't be discouraged, because the darker it gets, the happier us Christians should be, because that means his arrival is getting closer and closer. So don't let this chaotic battle discourage you. In your heart, be happy. Stand strong and firm, because he's coming.
Yeah, but on the flip side of that same token is, remember that you have to look in the Bible, and you can see where God judged different civilizations and societies at different times. And we don't want to come under a place of judgment by God, because it will be the end of our civilization. He'll build something else back, you know? So that should allow us, that word should keep us on the edge and keep us fighting for righteousness in a very passionate way, because we know we serve a living God that's sovereign, and a loving God that's sovereign. But we also serve a God that the scriptures say is a consuming fire. And you know, we don't want to mess around with God. When we start dancing drag queens into our public libraries and sexualizing young children, God's been very gracious and patient with us. But it's going to come to a point where God's going to say, you know what, y'all are too, you know?
Yes.
And I don't want to tempt God. I don't want to be that spoiled kid that pushes the line. I would rather come in fear and reverence of the power and the mightiness of God and say, drag queens are not normal. They're men in dresses that call themselves women, but they're really men in dresses. And if they get surgery, then that means that they're mutilating their body. They shouldn't see a surgeon. They should see a psychiatrist. And that's not a mean thing to say. That's a very truthful thing to say, because the suicide rate in the transgender community is like 1,000%. And these people need love. They need maybe some mental guidance. I don't know. I'm not a therapist. But I know that their issues are more than the dress that they're wearing. And for us to let these men come into our college sports and then to compete against our little girls in high school is the stupidest, most perverse, moronic thing that we could even allow to happen. And we're letting little boys play with girls in girl sports in high school because they say that they're girls? No. I mean, it's almost like getting out so far out there. You're like, how did we get to this place? We have to have a conversation about how many genders of people there are? Didn't Fauci say to trust in the science? I mean, let's look at the science. There's a boy and there's a girl. There's an X, there's a Y. There's God's creation. And I'm sorry, I went on another rant, I know.
No, I hear you. But let's do this. Let's take a quick sponsor break. When we come back, we're going to pick up the discussion. But I would like to, when we come back, I would like to get back to your cases and your scenario. Our audience, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back, and thank you so much for staying with us until now. We are joined by Coy Griffin. Absolutely amazing conversation so far, and I have to stop continuing the discussion with the whole transgender situation because I can go on for days talking about that. but I want to make sure we get to all of your information for the remaining time. So let's go back to you were arrested. You were in prison for 3 weeks, and what happened? How were you released?
You know, Chief Justice Howe let me out because she said this man's going to spend more time in jail than he would if he was popped with the full letter of the law, which is exactly what happened. Trevor McFadden sentenced me to 2 weeks in jail, and they had me in there for three on pretrial detention, but whenever they let me out, I came back to my county, and of course, all the dumpster divers were my political opponents thought they could smell blood in the water, and they thought they could recall me, which they tried very hard and fell flat on their face. They couldn't get 28% of the people to sign their recall petition. So since they couldn't remove me from office or recall, they used a civil bench trial before a liberal district judge. And I had the likes of Lawrence Tribe, Dan Abrams, Erwin Sherminsky, the NAACP, all these legal giants on the left, and I went into it pro se because it never should have gone to trial, you know? I mean, why do you want to spend money on an attorney whenever you shouldn't even be in a trial for insurrection in a civil trial in the state district court? I filed motions to quash and dismiss, which this judge is such a fraud. He didn't recognize. And through their fraud, they removed me from office on my commissioner seat. A first elected official in 150 years to be removed from office on Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, insurrection. And that allowed the radical progressive governor of New Mexico, a Democrat, to hand select who she wanted to replace me. And who she replaced me with was a Democrat that's run for office 8 times in Otero County and has lost every time she's ran for office. I mean, you can't even script this, you know? I mean, it's like a movie, but it's real life for me, and I've had to go through it, and they removed me from office. But I've got a great appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court right now, and I think I'm going to win big in the Supreme Court whenever we get it there. And my J6 conviction I have under appeal, and I have a federal lawsuit against the state of New Mexico. So I've got some hot legal irons in the fire right now, and it's going to be time to start making some smoke here before long, and we're gonna get this deal right, and we're gonna get these political activist judges that are sitting on the bench that are nothing more than political hacks wearing black robes. They're going to be dealt with. They need to follow the law, and they need to follow jurisdictional law, and we need to have jury trials whenever you're convicted, and not in Washington, D.C. One of the biggest injustices of J6 is these guys are going to trial in Washington, D.C., and they're getting assassinated by a 94% Biden-supporting jury pool. We need change of venue, and these defendants need to go back to their home states and have jury trials in their home states, because we're supposed to have a jury of our peers. And my peers don't live in Washington, D.C., you know? That's why I won't even run for one of those upper-level offices, because I don't even want to live. I don't even want to go to meetings in D.C. I'm not a part of that club. But recently, I had a jury trial right here in Otero County that people can research and Google. But I won a 12-count not guilty verdict on a campaign finance charge at the state of New Mexico. The Secretary of State has levied against me. I have 2 pages of filings that of all the legal back and forth, because they were trying to force me to register as a nonprofit only so they could put me in a system of control and tell me what I can and can't say and how I can and can't spend money. So I said, no, I'm not a PAC. I've never wanted to be a PAC. Well, we went and I had a jury trial, and they found me not guilty at the end of the day. But, you know, they use their political offices to try to destroy political opponents. And that's not the way government's supposed to work. Just because I don't believe in drag queens and the rest of the fairy tales that they tell us, the vaccine, 1, 2, the boosters, all this COVID stuff, I don't wear masks, I don't comply with your stupidity. But so just since I don't comply with stupidity, then I get censored and destroyed through the courts. But again, a jury of my peers rendered me not guilty across the board. And I did it with the public defender that was a Democrat. I let the state of New Mexico pick up my legal bills on that one. And this was the same case that Sidney Powell orally argued for me in the 10th Circuit. And we lost that opinion. And Sidney was my attorney. So that opinion that we lost in the 10th Circuit, it morphed into a criminal trial, a criminal charge, and I won that with the public defender that was a Democrat. But the reason why I did is because I had a jury trial in my hometown. I wasn't going before a political activist sitting on a bench. That's my experience through this, and that's why I advocate jury trials in your hometown. Let your peers judge you.
Let's talk hypocrisy for a minute. By any chance, Koi, are you familiar with Officer Mohammed Noor?
No, I thought you were talking about... What, is he a judge?
Nope, he was a police officer.
I thought you were talking about this other... There's an Iranian judge in the D.C. District, a magistrate judge named Muhammad Ayedi or something. He's bad. He's a bad man. And he wanted to try to keep me in solitary confinement, and he fought very hard to keep me in solitary confinement on a misdemeanor. But no, to going back to your original question, I'm not sure if I do know that name.
Okay, let me give you quickly a story of who Mohamed Noor is. My audience are familiar because I covered his case. So it happens that a 911 call of disturbance. Mohamed Noor and his partner get in the car, drive to the address. As they're parked the car, a woman, not armed, hands up in her nightgown, runs outside to seek help from the police. Mohamed Noor, inside the car, inside the police car, draw his weapon, shoot the woman, kill the woman. Goes to prison, convicted of murder. But then the sound of it was, this was Islamophobia because Mohamed Noor is a Muslim, you're doing this. Long story short, Mohamed Noor is out, a free man, living his life back in Minnesota. How's that for hypocrisy and double standards in America when as Muslim people, you get away with everything. As gay people, get away with everything. If you're a transgender, you can do no wrong. You're a Democrat? Absolutely. Oh, you're a black here? Let me give you some money because somehow, somewhere, a few generations ago, somebody might have looked at your family members wrong. But if you're a Christian white man, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. By definition, you are guilty until found not guilty. Isn't that exactly what happened to you and the rest of patriots who were there on January the 6th?
100%, but I haven't even played that card, especially in the media, because if I were to say what you just said, the New York Times and Washington Post and the rest of them would say, see, we proved that he was a white supremacist, white nationalist. Did you just hear him say that? You know, you can't even tell these people the truth, but what you just said is exactly the truth. You know, I mean, if you're a white male in America today and you're legal, you better be careful because you're the America's number one enemy right now. I mean, it's just, it's not who we are. America is of diverse cultures, of diverse skin colors, of, you know, our ethnicity is across the board. And that's what makes America great. We embrace that. We love that about America. But don't start singling one race of people out and trying to destroy them is what they're doing to white Christian males, men. You know, I mean, I think, but, you know, I mean, I don't know. Look at BLM and Antifa, what they've done. I mean, going back to my criminal trial, my attorney brought up the fact that during the Kavanaugh confirmation, there was Antifa and BLM that were breaking into the Capitol and doing a lot of the same acts that would happen on J6, and that those people were charged with $50 trespass fines and released. And the prosecution quickly piped up and said, oh yeah, but that was a peaceful protest and we're talking about a violent insurrection, you know? And it's like, it's the branding of it. It's why they told us a lie about Officer Sicknick being beaten to death with the fire extinguisher whenever he was really still alive at that time. I mean, what about his family? What about his mom? Was his mom heartbroken when Anderson Cooper was saying Sicknick was beaten to death with the fire extinguisher? Was the family notified? I mean, what was that circus that was going on? But it was branding. They wanted it to be violent. They wanted it to be bloody. They wanted it to be an insurrection so they could totally annihilate people like me who are uncontrolled opposition. We're not controlled opposition. We're uncontrolled. That's why we don't sit at Tucker Carlson's feet and wait for him to say the next word. I'm not controlled by Tucker. You know, I'm not controlled by Marjorie Taylor Greene. I'm not controlled by Donald Trump anymore. I was controlled by Donald Trump, possibly, up until the point that he told us to walk down to the Capitol and he would be down there with us, and then he never showed up. That's a question that I would like to have answered, and that's not to bash Trump. That's just a fact. You either had no intention of going down there, or your Secret Service told you not to go, and that's being controlled opposition. You know, whenever anybody says you can't do something, you're being controlled. Why didn't the president show up on J6? You know, I mean, that was probably a good time for me to get a phone call, because I don't want to go off on Trump. I still support him, you know. I still, the Rolling Stones runs headlines saying Cowboys for Trump passes Trump only because I knocked him a little bit because they weren't saying enough about the guy still in jail. I know what it's like. You know,
Here's the thing, Coy. I have 5 questions that I've been asking repeatedly. It's been building up to now of President Trump. The problem is, if we don't ask the questions that we need answers to, just because the opposition might say we're bashing our own, you know, candidate or president, then the system will go on. We have to ask the question, regardless of who's going to be upset with it or not, at least myself. I'm a human rights activist who's also an investigative journalist. I have exposed so many stories, especially with Iran deal situation, because I asked many questions regardless of, my fellow Iranians called me a sellout. My fellow Americans told me to go back to where I come from. That didn't stop me.
You're so beautiful. You're such an amazing woman. I admire you so much. I mean, I do. I mean, there's no telling what kind of life experiences and positions you've been put in, but you're a woman of courage and a woman of honor, and I'm so honored to be on your platform with you, you know. And I know I'm just telling you everything that your guests want you to hear right now, because enough people can't tell somebody like you, you know, how great you are. But yeah, you know, I mean, going back to Trump, we have to ask questions. If we don't ask questions, we're no better than the cult that they try to accuse us of being, because that's what cult people do. They never question their leaders, and whenever they do, all the other cult members go, oh, no, you can't say that, shut up, you know, and they're censored by the other cult people. And I can see that a lot in this Trump side, you know. It's like, you can't even ask a question as to, why did Trump go hang out with Lindsey Graham? You know, I thought Lindsey, you know, I don't agree with Lindsey's politics. And why did Trump support McCarthy for being Speaker of the House? But, you know, each man their own, each woman their own. You can have your own position, but I can ask questions too. We shouldn't be silenced only because we question those above us. That's what America's about. It's our First Amendment.
Amen. Exactly. Here's the first question I had. I said, January the 6th happened on January the 6th. Why? My very first question of President Trump was, why didn't President Trump pardon those, including yourself, who were arrested before January 20th? Just sure. A simple question.
But you know what? Though, honestly, I didn't want a pardon. When Trump mentioned pardons, I was almost insulted, to be honest with you. All I want is a fair trial and to be treated as an American citizen. And if I'm that, then I will be exonerated and vindicated through this. I don't want to sell my allegiance to Trump because he gave me a pardon. I just want a fair system that gives us a fair shake.
Yes, but unfortunately, Coy, it's the truth. The truth of the matter is, right now, for a very long time, it's been a long time, that we have had one of the most corrupt and broken justice system in America. This isn't yesterday, this isn't 2 years ago. It's been going on for a while. As I said, you know, when September 11 happened, everybody rushed to cameras to say, this had nothing to do with Islam. When transgender man raped girls in locker rooms, everybody ran to say not all transgenders are bad. When BLM was going on, everybody rushed to cameras to say this is mostly peaceful protest.
Yeah.
When J6 happened, everyone ran to cameras to say all white Christian Trump supporters are terrorists.
Sure.
That is a broken justice system.
I'll tell you something on that 9/11 thing. Who's to say that wasn't all propagated just to put us at war with the Muslims? Because the more I look at 9/11 and the more I see and scratch my head and go, yeah, was that an inside job too? Was that all a setup to get us into a war with Iraq? Was Jacques Chirac really right when all that was going on with George Bush and that big? Yeah, I don't know. You know, I mean, it's just like that's why we live in such confusing times and in such uncharted waters right now. It's because I'm afraid America's been built on a lie for a long time. And it's not because of the American people, it's because of the deep state and the, yeah.
Well, I can help you there. As far as September 11, was it an inside job? No. Did many make money off of it? Absolutely. Now, the original idea of September 11 started in 1979 by the man who hijacked the revolution of my motherland, known as Ayatollah Khomeini. When he arrived in Iran, he gave his first public speech, and the speech went something like this, translated to English. Let the plan begin. We will take down the great Satan America, and we will wipe Israel off the map. We will fly iron birds into their buildings. This happened on February of 1979. So I can answer your question of, was the September 11 planned by inside government? No. The plan started in 79, carried over, finances and trainings started by the Iranian IRGC, and then, you know, Bin Laden decided to take over the team and went on. Now, why did we go to Iraq?
He prophesied it. He prophesied it at that time. He called it out.
Yes.
And then from that day forward, the plan started coming together.
Exactly. Now, the reason we went to Iraq, however, was because at that point, Bush had too much of an arms deal going on with Saudi Arabia. There was no way we could attack them because the hijackers were from there. And behind the scenes, we were still doing the hostage negotiation, which we've been doing for 44 years with IRGC and Iran. So we couldn't go there either. Where's the easiest target? Americans want revenge. Let's go to Iraq. Boom. That's how it all happened. I don't want to deny the fact that many involving our government benefited from September 11, but we have to be always clear that September 11 is started with hatred of Islam towards Western civilization based on Judeo-Christian values. That aspect of September 11 is always there.
I appreciate that so much, because this is what the Bible says, edifying one another, or iron sharpens iron, you know, and to have these conversations and to hear your perspective, it all makes sense, you know, and I understand it all. But, you know, you mention about the Muslims calling America the great white Satan. And I remember hearing my dad as I was growing up, whenever America would start acting the way it acts, you know, my dad would say, it's no wonder they call us the great white Satan. Look at us celebrating drag men running around in dresses, you know, and sexualizing our children. Not to say that they don't have problems, society problems in their communities, but America needs, we have to remove the log in our own eye before we can see the mote in our brother's eye. And that's why we need here in America the Epstein investigation to come threefold, and we need to know everybody that was involved. We need to take care of our trafficking, our child trafficking, our sex trafficking, you know, these evils that we know that are going on. And once we clean up, then we can start, you know, maybe helping the other guy clean up their country. But America's in a mess right now.
Oh, most definitely. And here's the thing, there are two more things to clarify. The reason Islam calls America, especially the great Satan, is not because of what we do today. The yeah. concept of the Judeo-Christian values is we are considered infidels or great Satan because we believe in Trinity. In Islam, if you believe in Trinity, you shall be killed. You should believe in Jesus is nothing but a messenger of Islam. But if you believe in Trinity, then you're an infidel. So that's how we got the title of Great Satan. However, as I am not denying the fact that we need to clean house immediately, but whenever a Muslim community comes at us with, you know, you're sexualizing your kids and sex trafficking, always remember this, Koi. I'm a former child bride. I was 13 years old when my father sold me to a man as a bride. In Islam, starting age 9, a girl is an adult woman who can become somebody's wife. Don't let them make you think we have that problem in America, because 1400 years ago, by existence of Muhammad and his 11th wife, who was 6 years old, the tradition of child brides is started within Islamic societies. Again, yeah. I know we have cleaning up to do, but their mainstream has projected this. Muslims have the right to think we're Satan because we're too free and we wear this and we do this. They have a legal system that allows everything that is that they are looking down on us for doing is what they get to do legally. As long as they pay the fair price for a girl, they can have her as a wife. Isn't that sex trafficking? Isn't that child abuse?
100%. And, you know, I've been to Jerusalem. I've been to Jerusalem 4 or 5 different times. The first month I went, I stayed with the Muslim man, a shopkeeper in the old city right inside Jaffa Gate. And every day I would go to the old city with him, and I met all the other Muslim shopkeepers. And they always treated me very kindly. You know, they were always very welcoming, coffee, tea, biscuits. You know, we'd talk about politics, religion, and I always told them, they would tell me, they'd say, Coy, the Bible and the Quran are both holy books sent from God. And I would tell them, no, they're not. I said, when you say that, you call God a liar. I said, because one book says that Jesus is the Son of God, and one book says that Jesus is only a prophet. And I tell them, I'd say, I know which book is the truth, you know. Amen. But you know what? Even when I would speak hard to them, they would never get violent with me. They would never get aggressive with me. They always treated me with respect. And I always appreciated that, you know. But I sure don't agree with the religion. I don't agree with pedophiles, you know, because I don't care if you want to hide behind your religion. If you take a child as a bride whenever they're 10 years old, that child is not developed. It's not developed physically and it's not developed mentally. And that's pedophilia, you know. You have to let a child grow up to the point of maturity before you talk about marriage, you know. So, yeah, I mean, I know what you're saying, and there's nobody that has a better perspective on it than you do, you know.
Yes, and I appreciate that. As Jamie Glasgow would say, all good things must come to an end, including a wonderful and amazing educational discussion with one and only Coy Griffin. Coy, tell our audience, where do they go to get behind you, to support you, get informed, stay in touch with you? Where is it they're going to go?
I appreciate that. And I just want to say, I could sit here and talk to you all day long. You know, you're a wonderful person, and I appreciate the opportunity. And it's been very informative for me. As I mentioned, we have to have these kind of conversations. Thank God we have the technology that, I mean, I would like to just sit with you in private and talk to you about these things, but to do so on a public platform where others can listen in into the conversation, we have to thank God for the technology that allows us to do that. But financially, if anybody out there wanted to support, I've got a GiveSendGo account up. You can search it at Coy Griffin. I have one for legal defense fees, and I have one for my personal expenses, which the personal one bleeds over into the legal defense. So if you wanted to funnel anything through anything, I'd ask you to give it personally, and that way I can keep my head above water. And I'm on Twitter at Cowboy Coy, COWBOY Cowboy. Coy, COUY is my last name. And on True Social, you can find me at Cowboys for Trump.
Fantastic. And hopefully, Coy, we get to have you back on, and maybe next time when we have you back on, you have your signature cowboy hat on.
Hey, we're going into the business. It's funny you say that, because we're starting a cowboy hat business. We're starting to make cowboy hats. So.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, so maybe I can do an infomercial one day with the promo code for a cowboy hat.
Well, let me know when it's ready, and we will do our best to plug it for you and hopefully help with the number of sales.
And hey, I'll tell you this right now publicly. If you buy a cowboy hat from me, whenever we get it going, we're not in business yet. But if you buy a hat and fly out here to pick it up, then I'll take you horseback riding out on White Sands, and it's beautiful.
Oh, wow. Tell me when it's ready. I am going to buy them. I'll be your first customer if I get a horseback riding. Thanks again, Coy. Keep up the good work. May God bless you. Stay strong. Whatever we can do in any shape or form right here at Glazov Gang, Lindell TV, Frank Speech, or Live Up to Freedom, please don't hesitate to reach out.
Absolutely. Will do. Been an honor.
Fantastic. Yeah. And to our audience, thank you so much for staying with us until now. Please stay safe, stay vigilant. May God bless you, and may God bless America. Goodbye, guys.